Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. In case we haven't mentioned it, KPP Financial serves clients all across the United States. If you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio personally, you'll be ahead of the game. Steve carves out a few hours each month to meet with our podcast subscribers on Skype or telephone. It can be a very educational hour. To set up a time, go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review. End of commercial. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is August 18th, 2016. And because it's August 18th, I have a special guest today. Justin Klein's with me.
Yep, that's when I come on, August 18th of every year.
Yep. Special guest. Thanks for coming, Justin. Yeah. Our reason for being, as you know, I state it almost every day, you're probably bored with it, is to make you a better than average investor. Above average investing for the average investor. So let's start off by quoting Warren Buffett. How about when we begin this hour, huh? He said, "I will tell you how to become rich. Close the doors. Be fearful when others are greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful." So, are we greedy? Are we fearful? Well, according to the VIX, the Volatility Index, we have absolutely no fear.
No fear whatsoever.
No fear. No one's scared of anything. That scares me.
Scares you?
Yeah. That scares me. There's too much complacency out there. I wrote about it today in market commentary. So, at some point in the future, and nobody knows when, so you don't need to call up and ask us when it's going to happen, there will be a transition to a bear market.
Wait, you didn't bust out your crystal ball today?
No ball.
Maybe tomorrow.
No soothsaying.
No palm reading?
No palm reading. None of that stuff. Sorry. But there will be a bear market. Now, what is a bear market? Well, a bear market is more than 20% or more in a decline. Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about declines of a correction, which are between 0 and 20%. That's usually routine. We had the biggest one ever in January. Let me rephrase that. The biggest decline in a January ever this year. Okay, so it was down 10% in a month. That was a correction. Well, we haven't had one since. You know what? I think I read somewhere, and I can't remember this, there's on average like 2 corrections a year.
Yep. And that's speaks to why volatility, you have to be prepared for volatility in the stock market. You know, when people are investing, they a lot of times they don't understand the type of risks that is involved with the stock market, you know, and they look at, what happened last year. And, you know, like you said, typically there's 2 corrections, but some years there aren't any. And people think that they get used to that. And it doesn't take long for people to get used to how certain markets react and act.
Yeah. People think that this is normal, what we're experiencing here for the last, since February.
Same with the bond market. You know, we have record low yields. You know, I think people are getting used to mortgage rates of 3.5%, 4%.
I think it's a bond bubble.
Absolutely.
Just be aware. We are in unusual times.
Very unusual.
Okay, times. Just be aware. Yeah. Downturns are inevitable. Does it mean we're all going to sink or everything's going to be terrible? No. It means that, you know, you just have to be aware of it, and then you can do something to be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're suggesting.
And adjust your portfolio accordingly. And, you know, that's why we have different strategies that we employ for our clients, because some clients can handle volatility. Some others cannot handle that much volatility. We have different programs and strategies for that. And that's what each individual has to do. They have to understand what strategy they need to employ for their own goals and their own personal tolerance, risk tolerance, right?
Yep. So be prepared. Most important thing to keep in mind is it's normal for the stock market to have bad years. It's normal for it to have great years. It's normal for it to have corrections. Don't look at the steering wheel that you're driving down the road. Look through the windshield out front. Mm-hmm. Don't look so close. Don't freak out at every bump in the road. You know, but be prepared. Look down the road. Okay, so There's many things you can do to help protect yourself. And if you want to ask us about those, we'll talk about it. Anyways, so it's time to prepare for the next bear market. Does that mean you get out today? No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting look and think a little bit longer term.
And I think it's almost guaranteed we're closer to the next bear market than we are at the last bear market, right?
Probably. Oh, yeah. That's
last bear market was 2009. Mm-hmm.
Bottomed in March of 2009, March 9th.
Yep.
Now, do you have questions about developing a true investment strategy? What does that entail? Check in right now. Our anytime number is always open, 888-99-CHART. We'll try to answer the question on the next program. Here is Joe from Las Vegas. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, I'm doing really well, Steve. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
So I've got a question on Japan Steelworks and JFE Holdings. The ticker symbol for Japan Steelworks is TYO.
Okay.
And, you know, right now with what's going on with the military being restructured a little bit over in Japan and with the TPP going through and you have Chinese encroachment in the South China Sea, I wanted to know what you thought about maybe buying stock if you foresaw that in the future it'll appreciate pretty greatly as their military expands. And I noticed on the 9th it went up 10%. That's Japan Steelworks, so I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, that's, I don't think it's traded on our exchange, is it? It's a foreign company.
I'm
traded.
Not sure.
It's traded in Germany on the Frankfurt Exchange.
Not ours.
Yeah, not.
So you have to go there to buy it.
Yeah, it's on the OTC market, over the counter, the blue pink sheets.
To make it back.
Okay, as far as your theory that Japan's going to spend more money on defense, I think that's pretty clear that they are, and that's probably why it's moved up recently pretty strongly, because of the Chinese encroachment on some islands, and there's worry that, you know, there's some islands that Japan and China both declare as theirs.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also have, you know, Trump, who talks about how we help all these countries throughout the world with their military.
Need to step up.
Yeah, that they need to step up and do more themselves, and Japan is one of those countries where we protect them. So I can see that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Japan's constitution, they cannot. They have, I think it's in their constitution, they can't develop a navy or an
standing army.
Air Force, yeah. They got to change their constitution to do that.
Which they could do. Yeah. And maybe that's in the talks. Maybe that's in the works.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a way to get their economy started again, right? Is to start
producing. That was a theory I had.
Yeah. And
I think it's a valid theory. Yeah. I can't. We don't have a lot of detail on foreign stocks. We just don't. We don't have the data in front of us.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's not a bad theory.
I really appreciate you guys having me. I love listening to the show, and keep up the good work.
Thanks. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Joe.
Let's also try to answer one of the questions via our text messages. Well, that seems to be getting more and more popular. I purchased USO and oil months ago. I am down about 20% or about 2,000. I don't think I will ever buy oil futures again, as they are more of a daily trading vehicle, not a long-term hold. Yes, that's true. That being said, I'm trying to determine if I should dump the position or keep it as a hedge. If I dump it, I will most likely just keep the funds in cash. Thanks for the great show from Ben from Jacksonville. Okay, when you say keep it as a hedge against what?
Yeah.
See, this is what, you know, a hedge is against something. You're prepared for something.
Hedge of inflation? I don't know. Yeah. Some oil spike?
Yeah, see, I can't figure that. That confused me.
Yeah, and this is a good example, and I've talked about this many times in the show, is these ETFs that follow some sort of a commodity.
Which USO is.
Which USO is. It follows the United States oil fund. So it follows the oil price, but it uses futures to do so, and by using futures, there's daily loss of value that you're getting. So it's not a one-for-one move in oil prices. So USO is a horrible long-term vehicle.
Yeah.
It's a good short-term trading vehicle if you think oil is going to move.
Which is what he mentioned.
Yeah, and that's kind of what he's dealing with. This oil has been going up nicely, but USO hasn't gone up nearly as much as it has, as oil has since the beginning of the year. So I would sell it, move on. And I talk about when you're looking at commodity exposure, buy companies.
Yeah.
Companies pay dividends. They produce profits. They can buy back stock. it's a much, much better proposition to buy an individual commodity company, an oil driller or a gold miner or, you know, an agriculture company that sells fertilizer or whatever.
Yeah, an easy way to look at it, look at all the gold mining companies from January to date, and then look at the price of gold and compare those two percentage moves up and tell me which one has way outperformed the other. See, it's much better to buy a miner in or an oil producer or you know, whatever commodity area you want to be.
Yeah.
Each month I set aside a couple of days to visit Northern California, in addition to Skype and phone calls. My purpose is to help, you know, you organize your retirement portfolio, maybe even your whole approach to investing. And I'm going to be there on August 30th in San Ramon and San Jose on August 31st. To reserve your time on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review. Now I'm ready for your questions. Justin and I here listening to want to hear what you want to say. We want to talk about what's on your mind, not what's on our mind. This is Invest Talk. Our direct number is 888-99-CHART. Four lessons to boost your retirement wealth. Well, there are things you can do, you know, and you'll be surprised what those lessons are. It's not becoming a great investor, by the way, even though that helps. I'm not saying it doesn't, but that's not the lessons. And that's going to be one of our main talking points today. Also, we didn't get to it, but I wanted to talk about the dollar that looks pretty toppy. It looks like it, and that I wanted to talk about it yesterday, and it fell again today. So it's getting a little late for me to talk about it. Myths about the U.S. economy that are just plain wrong. There's an article that I read, and I like the
picture on the front of the article.
Yeah,
the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. So these are myths, and I don't know if you call them myths, but maybe just misunderstandings. How about that? I also want to talk about hedge funds today. Hedge funds, you know the average return of the hedge fund year to date? Well, I don't know if I'm going to tell you, but the average is pretty poor. And you compare that with the S&P and the NASDAQ, it's surprising that anybody even wants to be in a hedge fund. And, of course, yesterday someone called about two correctional facility stocks, which one was better than the other, and we went over them. And did you see what the news were? The news came out overnight. Justice Department says it will end use of private prisons. Tank those stocks. So maybe we should talk about that. This is a lesson for everybody out there that we need to talk about. So those are the things we're going to discuss if we can get to them today. Hopefully we can. Let's go to Bruce in Fresno. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, Steve. Yes, I'm wondering about stock like this mining company Billiton, BHP, and when on a stock like this, when do you consider it a time to buy it? I know it got down below its book value and now it's a little bit higher and they've lost money and made money. I'm just wondering, would you ever consider this kind of a stock or
we considered and bought a lot of gold mining companies starting last year. And they kept going down on us, kept going down and down. And that was very frustrating because they're getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So when something becomes extremely value, when it's on an extreme, that's when you got to start considering these kinds of stock.
Yeah, and we were hurting last year, but you know they've come back dramatically this year. So,
yeah.
And BHP is in that space as well to a degree. You know, it mines iron ore, energy, coal, oil and gas, aluminum. So it's a very diversified, nickel, silver. It's a very diversified commodity driller.
So when you see a stock like this and the values are extremely low and they have the heft and ability to survive, that's key.
Mm-hmm.
They can get past this. They have enough. They're big enough.
They don't have a lot of
finances. They don't have a lot of debt. They can survive. Then you start taking a little chance on these. Now, not the whole portfolio, but, you know, again, 3% of your portfolio, maybe up to 5%, it's okay. That's when you start to. It's not, I wish it was easy, but it's just not. Bruce, thanks for the call. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Chris, who's calling us from Michigan. How you doing, Chris?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling about the two prison REITs that you mentioned before the break.
Right.
I own both of them, and I'm just wondering if I should dump them at the open, or if this 40% drop here is an overreaction and I should hold on.
Okay. Of course, we don't know for sure, but it certainly is an overreaction. That that is what we can tell you.
Yeah, because the Justice Department doesn't speak for the other 50 states in the union, who all, most of them use private prisons in some capacity.
And in California, we use private prisons because we can't seem to build any state prisons. So they use private prisons, and I don't see how that's going to change.
Yeah, so in these type of news events happen, usually the market overreacts.
And just for everybody else, what happened is the Justice Department announced today that they will end the use of private prisons. This is the Justice Department, the federal government.
Yeah, it's not that they'll stop using them tomorrow, but they're not going to renew contracts, et cetera.
No new contracts.
Yeah, and you got to remember too is this is under Obama. What if the next president doesn't agree with that? Now Hillary Clinton might agree with it, so it might stay. But if there's another president, whether it's Trump or a third party, they might reverse that and things could change quickly. Now, these type of news events, whether it's earnings or something major like this, usually it takes about 3 days before it all settles out. Okay. So I would wait at least 3 days, see where it settles out. I think it'll recover most of what it's lost over the next month or two.
I'm not sure of that, but I wouldn't sell it. I don't know if it'll recover most of its loss, but I do think it will recover. Okay, Chris?
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The numbers are very solid on both those prisons that we talked about yesterday. So don't panic. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Thank you, Steve. I was hoping you look at the WLL chart and possibly entry if you can.
Okay, this is Whiting Petroleum.
They're a driller, and I believe they haven't really recovered nearly as well as a lot of the other oil drillers. Do you have any idea why?
No, definitely not.
I need my basic page here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
You're playing with stuff.
I'm messing up Steve's mojo over here.
Yeah. Now, they are engaged in exploration and production of oil. They are a 2.3 billion dollar company. So they're not a big player in that space.
But they're primarily engaged in the Permian Basin and the Rocky Mountains. So they are very focused on shale.
But they lose money, and they're going to lose money next year. So it's
and they have a decent amount of debt. And that's a little bit worrisome.
It's not something I would own.
Yeah. I think the fact that it hasn't recovered nearly as well as the industry as a whole is telling me a lot.
Yeah. I would probably exit this and move on to something stronger, Mike. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. WLL is a symbol, everybody. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Ali and Hayward. Ali, is that how you say it?
Hello there. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very, very new to this whole world of finance and investing. Okay. I really apologize for asking any stupid,
questions. There's no stupid questions.
Okay.
None.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Great. Well, I have a background in healthcare, so right now at this point in my life, I have an established income, and I want to start investing, and I really want to dig down deep into this, see what I can do to make my money work for me. And I know you hear that whole, quote or whatever, But listen to this. So I've been looking into a couple of books. I wanted to start looking into this book called The Intelligent Investor.
Okay.
From Graham.
Ben Graham.
What do you think about that book?
It is probably the best value investing book ever written. He wrote the first one in the 1930s. It's been updated and rewritten numerous times. And it's an advanced book, though.
Mm-hmm. Have you started reading it yet?
Yeah, I did. I just started reading a few pages so far. It's coming through Amazon right now, so I've been reading it online. But But yeah, this the whole concept of value investing. It's kind of like how Warren Buffett, he also recommends that as well too. And with this type of what, can you just kind of tell me what the benefits are of value investing and how and what I can expect from that?
Okay.
Well, value investors, two kind of schools of thought when it comes, or strategies, types of strategies that generally are employed. And there's value investing and then there's growth investing. Growth investing is exciting. A lot of people call it momentum investing. You get into companies that are growing, they're fast. You know, you think of the Netflix of the world, you know, the Googles, the Amazons.
Tesla.
Those are the exciting companies. Value investing is about finding companies that are cheap, based on what their business currently does, revenue, earnings, assets on their book, dividends, etc. That's really what value investing is about. And over time, over the long term, value investing does much better than growth investing by about 4% per year.
You want to hold on? We'll talk about it more after the break. We're open to your money questions and comments. 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. We're here to help you on Invest Time.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. There are many chart patterns that investors and traders can use to identify likely moves in the market. The head and shoulder pattern is one of the most recognized, and you can get a charting lesson on this pattern by becoming an InvestTalk Insider. It's just one of the chart lessons available to you. It's free. You can sign up now on InvestTalk.com. We continue now with this Thursday, August 18th, Invest Talk. Renewed interest in gold. The holdings in global gold exchange traded funds have pushed it to its highest level since 2013. Are platinum and silver a better investment than gold? That's next time. But Steve's ready to answer any money question you might have today. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him from anywhere in the U.S.
We have a tool. I want to remind everybody, we have a tool on our website that we've talked about every day. And just real quick, I wanted to mention it. It's the personal risk tolerance questionnaire that we have on there. It's a risk analysis tool. And you can just go to investtalk.com. It's really easy. It's just a few questions. It's very fast. And it tells you what kind of risk you're comfortable with. And that's really very important from a personal level, how much risk you personally are comfortable with. And then we can compare that with the market. It's free. It's easy. Just click on InvestTalk, the InvestTalk tab, okay? Ali, thanks for holding on because, you know, that question that you asked is kind of broad. And we didn't want to short shift you with the time that we had left.
We like broad questions.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
you said... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I was essentially trying to ask is, what do you recommend for someone who's just starting out? Do you recommend someone investing in low price shares and kind of doing their own due diligence, researching the company, and minimizing their downside by cutting losses? Pricing gold.
You mentioned low price shares, like that's value investing.
Like crappy companies. Like
no,
that's not value investing.
No, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
That's a big mistake.
That's not pennies. People confuse the price of the stock versus it being cheap. You know, Warren Buffett says price is what you pay, value is what you get. So just because something is the price is $2 a share doesn't mean you're getting $2 a share in value. In fact, usually when stocks are under $5 a share, the actual value that you're getting is much less than the current price.
Yeah.
And that's why that's what they call penny stocks. And penny stocks and stock investing is not value investing.
Low price stocks.
The goal is to find a company that has excellent value that's priced below its value.
Yeah,
correct.
Is that what we're looking at?
A stock that's trading for $1,000 a share can be a value stock.
Yeah.
Because the value you're getting might be $1,500 a share or $2,000 a share.
And therein lies the difficulty, because you have to determine what the value of that company is. Mm-hmm. You have to determine
that.
Yeah, you know,
and my budget only tells me that I can only go for low price shares right now. So that's why I'm just like, well,
that's wrong too. You can use ETFs as a way to invest, and you can do it with a very little amount of money and a little amount of money and still get good diversification, because that's another part of investing is diversification. Just because you have a little bit of money, all that tells you is you can't buy stocks individually.
Now, what I would say is you're young, you're new, and this goes to anybody that's new to investing. I think it's better to just save. You know, save. You don't need to invest right away. Don't get that itch that like, oh, I need to put it out there into something. Because the odds are, because of your lack of experience, you're going to make a mistake, you know?
Right.
So what I would do is read more. Go to our website. There's a book section. Just click on the Invest Talk tab. There's a book section. There's a bunch of different, there's five different tabs. There's classics, fundamental analysis. That's where you'll get into, you know, how to be a value investor. And one of the books on there is
like
what your
financial statement.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll see Warren Buffett's Ben Graham's intelligent investor there.
Yeah, and there's technical analysis to help you understand charts. There's economics to help you understand how the economy works. There's personal finance tips that get you kind of a sense of how to save and grow your wealth, etc. And start reading those and do some maybe paper trading. You know, there's a lot of websites that allow you to just
thinking about.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
I'm also looking at this guy named, you ever heard of this guy named Peter Leeds?
No. Peter Lynch?
No, Peter Leeds.
Peter Leeds. He has that book, The Penny Stocks on Dummies.
Don't do penny stocks.
Oh, no. No. I definitely look into it. But he also recommends doing paper trading first and, like, establishing, a strategy to see, where you're at, cutting losses, you know, if you ever go down 10% on any trade or whatever, to just get out of the trade. Don't risk anything. And, so I just started reading a little bit about that. So, really, of course, you can imagine me being really interested in the short-term gains and all that. I definitely like that idea of starting to just read for now and save, and then kind of just take it from there, I am starting on this book right now. Is there any other books off the top of your head that you can just think of that's a really good book to read for beginners?
Well, I like Peter Lynch has a number of books out there for beginners. Beating the Street.
Beating the Street was my first book I ever read when I was 16. Yeah.
The Industry. Okay. Peter Lynch.
No. Beating the Street.
Like Wall Street.
I actually saw that on Amazon. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
And One Up on Wall Street is another book. Ali, appreciate the call.
I really appreciate this. You guys are awesome, man. Thank you. I'm going to start listening to you guys more often. It's my first time listening to you guys, and I really, really appreciate it. You guys are very knowledgeable, and hopefully I can become a millionaire one day and be like, hey, man.
It's possible.
I remember those guys, and I'll donate to your old company.
Yeah, thanks for the compliments. And one other thing, try to separate trading from investing. Trading from investing. They're two different disciplines in trying to make money in the market.
And you can be successful at both.
Yeah, or either. Patrick in Carlsbad. How you doing, Patrick?
Hey, guys. I haven't called in a while.
Hey.
But I have a random question for you. I was wondering if you knew if the rules for short-term and long-term capital gains still apply when you're buying stocks outside of the U.S. exchanges. So I have been investing in the Canadian exchange, and I'm curious when I buy and sell if I'm going to be held to the same rules, or if it's completely different.
Let me ask you this: do you live in Carlsbad?
Yeah.
You are a U.S. citizen.
Yes.
And you pay American taxes, don't you?
Right.
Yep. You're going to have the same rules. If you're a Canadian, if you lived in Canada and were a Canadian citizen, I say no. Then you got to go by their rules. But you're going to have capital gains. You're going to have to report all the numbers. Yeah. And there might even be additional tax issues depending on, do you have to pay taxes in Canada on your gains?
Yeah, there might be foreign tax withholdings as well. That's something to consider. Some countries we have a treaty like the UK. UK, we don't have any foreign tax withholdings for UK assets, but most other countries, they do have some sort of foreign tax withholding that you're going to have to pay.
So just
on top of it,
You got to look into it. Sorry, Patrick.
That's all right. Good. I was just curious.
Yeah, that's a better question for a CPA who definitely understands foreign assets.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Patrick. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
888-99-CHART. Okay. Hedge funds. They're in the news every so often, and I hear a lot of times they're in the news when either they go out of business or they make a killing in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's when you hear them. Do you know what the average performance of a hedge fund in 2016, year-to-date, is? It's about 3%. 3%. You know what the best hedge funds are returning? About 6% this year. Do you know what the S&P return is for this year so far? 7%. The NASDAQ, 4.6%. Hedge funds make a ton of money.
Makes us feel really good.
Yeah, it does.
All those numbers.
Yeah, we love those numbers. And so do our clients if they look at their portfolios, and hopefully they do. But all I'm pointing this out is hedge funds charge a lot of money. They charge an annual fee, pretty much like us, but they also get 20% of the profits normally.
Mm-hmm.
So they're charging a huge amount of money for getting very little return on your invested dollars.
There's actually a push right now in the industry to kind of match the way the private equity funds do it, because private equity funds do something kind of similar, but usually there's a return hurdle. So under most hedge funds, the 2-20 model, they get 2% plus 20% of the profits. Well, if you make, let's say they make 5% net of the 2%, right? Then they're going to get 1% of that 5%, right? So you're only really making 4%. Whereas in the private equity world, usually they say, well, we're going to make you 8%, and anything over 8%, then we get a cut of that. But a lot of times it's a lot more, maybe up to 50% of is above the 8%. Yeah. So it's a little bit different structure, but that's kind of a push for the hedge fund industry.
And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't do either one. Why pay those huge fees? Why be? And they're not even performing. I could see if they were like really consistently outperforming, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Every so often they make a killing. Well, why do they make the killing every so often? Because they take huge risks, mm-hmm. because they want that 20%. Profit.
The difference in the private equity world, though, is they call it carry. And so, for example, like I said, they might guarantee the investor 8%, but the private equity firm will get to keep 100% of whatever is over that 8%. But if they don't make 8%, say they make 4%, they have to make it up to the investor and make sure they get their 8%. They take a lot of risk that way. So it's a pretty interesting structure in the private equity world.
Let's take the next text question from Dave in Pennsylvania. Hi, guys. Can you give me your opinion on First Solar, FSLR? FSLR is the symbol. Where do you see this going? I bought this at 44 with the most recent dip. Looking for a trade. It is now 38. Wondering if I should hold on or get out. What would be your exit point? Thanks again. I really enjoy the show. First Solar, everybody. You know, the solar power company. And
They're definitely one of the better ones out there when it comes to solar powered companies. And why is that? It's because they actually make money. They made $5.37 last year, going to make $4.30 this year. The problem is next year, they're only supposed to make $2.59.
And that's why it's gotten crushed.
Yeah.
You know, what's $2.59 worth? It's not worth $37.52 is what they're trading at today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you look at this and you say, oh, that PE is really low. Look at that. That's because you're looking at last year's earnings and comparing it with today's price.
Mm-hmm.
Look at next year's earnings and say, well, what's the PE based on the estimated next year's earnings? So is it going to go down? Where is a good place? Man, I see it still falling. There doesn't seem to be a lot of support. It's broken through support, going down. Where it's going to go, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's trading well below book value.
Which is a good sign. I mean, you like that.
But the question is that book value made up of a lot of goodwill? And if you understand balance sheets, goodwill is really worth nothing.
Yeah.
Even though on the balance sheet, it looks like it's worth something.
It's worth as much as a handshake.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how much is that worth?
Yeah, so from that perspective, it's cheap. Its cash flow, my problem is its operating cash flow has plummeted. Its operating cash flow in 2013 was $856 million. And it quickly turned around, and in 2015, it was negative $361 million. Trailing 12 months, it's only about $49 million. So huge shrinkage in operating cash flow, meaning cash flow from its pure core operations, and that's what really kills me.
I would not be a buyer of it.
No.
We talked earlier about market cycles. We engaged in a live webinar about that some time back. Okay, but InvestTalk insiders can watch it anytime they want to if you're an insider. See the cycles, how to recognize and harness the power of market cycles. Do you know what part of the cycle, economic cycle we're in? What part of the stock market cycle? They're not exactly the same, you know. So it's there if you want to sign up and be a free InvestTalk insider. It's easy. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
The best investing approach is one that combines disciplined fundamental analysis with a market perspective and an understanding of human psychology. As Steve says, it's an art, not a science. How about sharing your investing experience? Steve and Justin would love to hear from you. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Bob from Salinas, California. Love your show. I had a question regarding the stock EME, which is EMCOR Group. Wanted to see what your outlook was in the next 6 months as far as the current stock value and where you saw it going in the short-term period. Once again, love your show, and thanks for your feedback. Bye.
Now, before Justin gets into the mechanics of the company itself, I want to point out that, you know, you don't chase performance. And this looks like you're chasing performance as I'm looking at a chart. This thing has done very well from the lows of the year. It's at near its 52-week high. It's moved from $42 to $57. And, you know, now you're looking at it to buy. Think about what you're doing here. Why now are you looking at it to buy? Why? Yeah. Because it's gone up already. It's probably one of the reasons why you're looking at it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, buying strong stocks is not a bad thing.
No,
it's you know,
not.
And but if you're buying it strictly because it's been strong, then that is a trade. You're doing that for a trade. So if you're looking for the short to medium term, you know, the odds are the trend is your friend, and that trend will continue, and it'll probably continue to go up to some degree. But from a long term perspective, that's another question. And yeah, after rallying, you know, what, 30% in the past 6 months, its value is obviously less compelling.
Yeah. And the company is strong. Mm-hmm. EMCOR Corporation, EME, it's strong. It's growing its sales. It mm-hmm. looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying it's a bad company.
Yeah. Modest debt, only 20% debt to equity ratio. I like that. I would say at this point, it's maybe slightly overvalued.
Yeah. You can still get through with your question. We still have time. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Or you can send me a note. Send both of us a note if you want to. You can just go to investtalk.com. Either click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin. Chart. That's our number. We'd love to hear from you. We're going into the last section of the show, and you still have time to get in. Four things to know to boost your retirement wealth. And these are kind of interesting things. And it's not about becoming a great investor. It's about being a disciplined saver. That's one major way. Yeah, it would be great if you were a great investor. And yeah, you can make money investing in the market and do well, and you should do it, and all those wonderful things. But it's more about spending less than you earn and saving the rest and invest the rest. And there's where I think, I don't know, a huge percentage of people can't do. They cannot spend less than they earn. They spend more than they earn.
It's difficult to get people to understand that because they think that, oh, if I just earn more on my investments, right, or I earn more at my job, And you talk about this all the time, and you see this with your family, is people don't have an earnings problem, right? They have a spending problem.
Always a spending problem.
Always a spending problem. So having that savings discipline really trumps investing skill. And that's, I think, harder. I don't say harder to master, but it takes more
discipline.
For mental fortitude.
Yeah. And then another point, and we won't belabor this into the ground, but another point is, it, you know, people want to be, you can listen to our show here. People want to pick the stocks and buy and sell it, get in, get out, get in and out. It pays to be somewhat passive sometimes.
If you, I think if you don't know what you're doing, you know, and that's why we talked about that caller earlier, who's new to investing. And Steve, you mentioned, you know, buy an index, and that makes you broadly diversified, and it's simple. And I think,
and you can do it with a little bit of money. You don't have to be rich.
Yeah. So I don't think that's a bad way to go. And I think ultimately, humility is really important as well, because people get caught up in the hype. You know, they get caught up in the latest and greatest gadget or company or whatever, and they're usually kind of late to the game, right?
Yep. Yep. And you know, we also talk about discipline in our investing and risk management kinds of things, and those go more into details of what how you should do it. And I wanted to mention, you know, yesterday when the caller called about the prison stocks, of course we didn't know that the Department of Justice is going to stop using prisons, but you remember we talked about how much you should own of any one stock.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why this discipline and a little humility. You're not the genius. Everybody's not a genius investor. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Justin's not. But we do know we can manage the risk of any of our exposure by not buying more than 3% of any one stock.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something like this out of the blue that has nothing to do with the fundamentals happens, it doesn't hurt us. It doesn't hurt mm-hmm. our clients. It doesn't help us, but it's, you know, we diversified. Yeah,
it's and not a big drag.
Yeah, it's just okay. So, again, those are the skills you need to learn. Let's go to John in San Francisco. How are you doing, John?
I'm okay, Steve. Thank you for taking my question. I love your show.
Thank you.
I would like your opinion on Johnson & Johnson. Is it good to hold or sell?
Johnson & Johnson is one of those big blue chip core holding kind of stocks. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be exciting. Never. It'll pay you a nice dividend.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably increase the dividend over the years. Johnson & Johnson. But if you're looking to like make a killing on it, that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, we recently sold this for our managed accounts, just not because we don't like the company. It's just at these levels, we just think it's kind of overvalued. You know, a 20 PE for something that's not really growing only yields about 2.7%, and we don't see a lot of growth from that dividend, you know, potential. It's still a good company, but it's just not exciting.
Yeah, it went from, you know, beginning of the year, it was $97, $98 a share to
mm-hmm.
$125.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a company that's not growing 1, 2, 3, 4%, it's just, you know, it's hard to hold on to it, John.
If it gets back into the 90s, I'd pick it back up.
Yeah, go back, pull back. I mean, it probably will eventually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, great stock to have in your watch list.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Big blue chip company. J&J is a symbol. Johnson & Johnson. Well, guess what? Our time is up. A reminder, you can reach me and Justin directly with a personal money question if you wish. Or maybe you'd like to know more about our retirement reviews that we do, that I do quite often. Just click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com or contact Justin. Your message or questions are always going to be asked, people. And we always do. If we don't answer them, that means we didn't get it. I'm Steve Peasley with Justin Klein. We are registered investment advisors with our firm KPP Financial Services, Inc. And for everybody at KPP, thank you for listening. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis. and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.